You're listening to the Godfather and Gorney podcast on Rivals.com with your hosts, the Godfather of Recruiting, Mike Farrell, and National Recruiting Analyst, Adam Gorney.
That's right. Welcome to another edition of the Godfather and Gorney podcast. My name is Dave Barry, and I'm joined by the stars of the show, Mike Farrell and Adam Gorney. Guys, the NFL Combine is in full effect. We saw a lot over the weekend. Everybody was wondering what Kyler Murray was going to come in height-wise, and he reached that 5'10" bar. Mike, do you believe that? Do you believe he's actually 5'10"?
I have to. I think the measurements are accurate. Now, having stood next to him at Under Armour late in his senior year, he was not 5'10". He was probably about 5'8", 5'9". And Gorney, you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I remember interviewing him at the Disney World baseball stadium. They had a media day there, and I saw him a bunch that week. And I was surprised because it seemed like when the combine was starting, the kind of whisper number was that he was going to come in under 5'10", that he was in the 5'9" somewhere. And, you know, is there a huge difference between 5'9" and 5'10" and 1/8" or whatever? I don't think so, but I think it really mattered in terms of the NFL teams looking at him being over 5'10", so they wouldn't freak out. They were going to freak out if Baker Mayfield was under 6 feet last year. He wasn't. Now 5'10 is the bar, so next year maybe 5'6 will be the bar.
Yeah, but he was not 5'10 back then.
No. So he's was probably 5'8.5". So over the next 3 years, he stretched out by 1.5 inches.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5 on a good day, 5'9".
Yeah, so, I mean, you were looking him right in the eye.
Yeah, I was about looking him right in the eye.
All right. But, you know, kids can grow in college. So, I mean, 5'10", does it matter? I mean, he was the same size as Russell Wilson, a little bit thicker, which was surprising to me. I think he was 207, and Russell Wilson was a little bit lighter than that. But he does not look like a thick kid at all. I mean, Russell Wilson looks like he's got something to him. Kyler Murray looks like, you know, he's very skinny and you could break him in half. But now the debate is, you know, he's going to go to his pro day. He's going to feel comfortable where he is, obviously throwing to people he knows. He's going to have a great pro day. You know, it's hard not to have a great pro day when you're throwing against air. Is he the number one pick? That, you know, 2 days ago, I think it came out that it was a lock that Kingsbury was going to take him number one overall, and they were going to trade Rosen, and they were talking about the Giants and the Redskins, and then it just came out today that Arizona is going to stand pat a quarterback, and they're not going to take him. You know, Rich Eisen said during the combine he's hearing that Arizona has communicated that they're staying pat at the quarterback position with respect to the draft. You know, but I don't know what to believe, honestly. I would take Rosen and develop him. But you've got such a bad offensive line and such a bad football team, you know, maybe Murray's a better fit for that offense.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing is here, you know, you can get a tremendous amount of value, I think, for Josh Rosen right now. So, but it's a huge risk taking Kyler Murray. We don't know if he's going to be successful in the NFL. I think a lot of his, you know, chatter about being number one is because of Baker Mayfield doing so well in his first year with the Browns. They're different players. Obviously, Kyler Murray had one great year at Oklahoma. I think that's what everyone is relying on as his future. But if you look at the Cardinals, they're a bad football team. And so Kyler Murray could have been benefited a lot by having Hollywood Brown, by having CeeDee Lamb, by having Grant Calcaterra, by having a phenomenal group of running backs, even after Rodney Anderson went down, and having an incredibly innovative offensive mind in Lincoln Riley, which any NFL team except the Patriots probably would have taken this year and hired. So we're not talking about a surefire, guaranteed star NFL quarterback, which I think Josh Rosen is down the line. He struggled in his rookie year because his team is just god-awful. He got sacked every other play. And, you know, if you take Kyler Murray into this offense, he can work with Christian Kirk, but how long does Larry Fitzgerald have? Then the backups, Jalen Tolliver and J.J. Nelson. This is not exactly a loaded football team. So to bring in a quarterback who's got to kind of run around and make things up and do all those kinds of things, I don't know if it's a guarantee. So I think if you're the Cardinals, you look at it and you go, we can get some stuff for Josh Rosen, but we might be giving up one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL for a very risky quarterback. I think you stick with Josh Rosen and then down the line get some offensive playmakers that you can work with. But do you think Rosen fits with Kingsbury? Because those are two big personalities that maybe want to do slightly different things on offense, drastically different things maybe.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because we know Rosen is certainly an outspoken kid, and so is Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray fits that air raid offense that Kingsbury likes to run. I think Rosen can succeed in that. You know, they could butt heads, though. I mean, that'd be interesting. I still am wondering why Arizona hired Kingsbury as their head coach. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, geez, that's a yeah, that's another thing entirely. And I think that's a desperate NFL team trying to go after a completely different style of offense to see if it can possibly work. Everybody in the NFL is trying to figure out ways to score more points, and that's why a lot of teams wanted to hire Lincoln Riley. That's why Chip Kelly was such a big name for a while, and now Kingsbury, who honestly was pretty much a failure at Texas Tech, did not do very well, could never figure out how to develop a defense over years in the Big 12. Gets hired as an NFL coach. I'm not entirely sold that this is going to work out in the first place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it depends on what value they would get for Josh Rosen, too. They'd have to get a first-rounder, you know, or maybe a first-rounder and you know, multiple other picks and things like that. And I think they could from certain teams, you know, that in a quarterback year that doesn't look so great, you know, Rosen could be, you know, that first rounder that a team wants if they're willing to trade their first round pick for him. But I don't know. It's just it's weird to see a kid that's number 10 in the, you know, 10 in the NFL draft. They traded up for him last year, and here we are a year later talking about him being traded. And it's not an attitude issue. It's not anything but they hired a coach who is, I think, woefully not qualified for the position, and they're going to try to play to his strengths, and that just seems like a recipe for disaster. But we'll see. I wasn't thrilled that Murray didn't work out. You know, it kind of looks bad when he's following around the other quarterbacks and not throwing and things like that. That always kind of makes me wonder a little bit. We know he's a talented kid, and he could have gone out there and made all those throws. It's not like it's difficult. But, you know, to each his own. So we'll see. We all know a quarterback could go number one, but these defensive linemen, I mean, I was watching on Sunday. It's just ridiculous. I really don't know. You know, there's going to be, I don't know, maybe 10 defensive linemen taken in the first round.
And that wouldn't be a stretch, and it probably isn't enough. There are probably going to be even more sitting in there in the second round that are complete steals, because this group is, you know, so many times coming into the combine, it's all about hype and talk and whoever else and who's hot and who's not. But this entire group is very, very good, incredibly solid, both at tackle and end. Some of those guys, I mean, when teams are asking Ed Oliver, who's an interior defensive lineman, to work out at linebacker because they could think he could be the next Melvin Ingram, that's pretty impressive. What Montez Sweat did was unbelievable. What Quinnen Williams did was unbelievable. Rashawn Gary had a good day. Other than Ja'Kai Polite, maybe had a little bit of a bad day, but the UCF guy who didn't even start looked great. I mean, everybody looked just phenomenal up and down the line. Incredibly athletic, and this is a note to all the top prospects out there listening. If you're a defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman, don't have any bad weight on you. Quinnen Williams has no bad weight on him, and Isaiah Bugs looked great. I mean, every single one down the line, they were breaking records, running the fastest 40s ever. Everything that they did, even on the bench press, everything was phenomenal. And, you know, the Cardinals need so much help. Let's start the Cardinals, go to the 49ers, the Jets, on down the line, need so much help. They can load up. And we didn't even talk about Nick Bosa, and he was, I don't even think, the standout of the day. I don't even think he was in the top three or four.
Well, he's a great-looking kid, though. I mean, mine.
Oh, yeah, he's a phenomenal-looking kid, but he didn't break records like Montez Sweat.
No. I think, obviously, his production on the field is good, and so is Sweat's. And, you know, Sweat's taller and longer and faster, but not quite as powerful. Bosa is definitely a more powerful guy when you're talking about playing the run and holding the line of scrimmage and things like that. So, you know, Bosa reminds me of Chris Long, and everybody says, oh, my God, he's so much better than Chris Long. People don't remember. Chris Long was the number two pick in the draft. And, you know, he was pretty good for the Rams, even though they were a really bad football team. He's won two Super Bowls. He's been key for the Patriots and the Eagles over the last few years. He's had a very solid career. And, you know, people who expect Nick Bosa to be, I don't know, the next Reggie White, maybe they're thinking too much. I mean, if they can get a 12-year career out of a Nick Bosa, that's what you want. So, but yeah, his 4.79 time was good, but it was overshadowed by a lot of other stuff. So, I mean, you look at Josh Allen, who worked out with the linebackers, but he's an edge guy.
Yep.
You look at Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa. You know, on and on it goes. Rashawn Gary, of course, with his potential. Christian Wilkins sort of gets forgotten. You know, Ed Oliver, you mentioned. You're going to get a guy like Dexter Lawrence that falls to the second round, and you're going to get a steal.
Yep.
It's just a crazy groove.
Yeah, and do you remember Quinnen Williams much in high school? I mean, I didn't see much of him. I don't really remember him. I remember the other guys, Gary and Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins.
He was one of those guys. He came on late. Usually it's the Mississippi kids that come on late in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game.
Yeah.
But it was Quinnen Williams who came on late and really pushed up our rankings from that Alabama-Mississippi game. He played defensive end and defensive tackle throughout the week of practice, and he was just dominating everybody with his hands and his quickness and his speed. So it pushed him up just outside the top 100. Obviously, you know, he's going to be a top three or four pick, so should have been a five-star, but he was one that I think was just, his trajectory was rising at the end of our ranking cycle. Had we seen him in a couple more events, you know, obviously signing day came and that was the end of that, I think he would have continued to push up the ranking. So he was a late bloomer, sort of like Chris Jones, who's with the Chiefs now, who's, you know, one of their better players and, you know, one of the leaders in the NFL in sacks. Just a guy we discovered late. And, you know, for Chris Jones, he was just so long and big. He ended up being a five-star. But Quinnen Williams, I think a couple more evaluations would have probably been up in that range.
And he'll always be known for his underwear mishap at the Combine, which is unforgettable, Chris Jones, right?
Yeah, that was the old... Yeah, that's infamous, actually.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I felt so bad for him, you know, because people were making a joke of that. And, you know, this was a kid who's 6'6" and came out of high school as an edge guy, moved inside at Mississippi State as a defensive tackle. And I thought, you know, oh, God, he's going to be known for that forever. But now he's just known as one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. I mean, he can rush the passer. And that's what you look for. You look in these classes for guys that are outside guys now that will be inside guys in a few years, like a Zach Pickens.
Yeah.
Zach Pickens in our 2019 Rivals 100 is one of those big defensive ends who's, you know, DeMarvin Leal is another one.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah.
These guys, Pickens ranked 9th, Leal ranked 10th. These are guys that, you know, play outside, they're defensive ends. They can play in the middle, and they do at times. But in a couple of years, they'll be full-blown 290-pound defensive tackles who can move like defensive ends and get pressure on everybody. And those are the type of guys that right now you look at, and you're like, okay, I can see in the combine 3 years from now, we're going to be looking at those type of guys. And then there's the Zach Harrisons of the world.
Who, yeah, I was just going to bring him up. Yeah, that's the real question there. His, you know, he's going to run at the combine. He's going to run an incredible time. People are going to be wowed by him. But is he a very good football player is the question.
Well, I think he's the Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary, this, yeah.
You know, like Rashawn Gary was a really good football player in high school. We started scouting him as a ninth grader. You know, he was at our five-star challenge twice. First year he was really raw, upright, you know, stiff. Second year he played much lower, was much more dominant. And then at Under Armour he played defensive end. And just dominated everybody at 280 pounds or whatever. You know, he was a heck of a football player. Then he goes off to Michigan. You know, the Don Brown system isn't made to make one guy a star. I mean, everybody works together. Yeah. And, you know, statistics are hard to come by at times. And sometimes your job is to, you know, take up other blockers and let someone else shine. But, you know, his production is a little bit worrisome. And I can see Zach Harrison being a guy like that at Ohio State. You know, Ohio State does a really good job developing their defensive linemen, though. That's one thing, you know, they do a great job. Defensive backs and defensive linemen at Ohio State, you really don't have any problems with. So I think he'll get coached up there. You know, obviously Larry Johnson's there. But he's the guy that I look at in this class is, okay, that's your Rashawn Gary right there.
Yeah, he's going to measure off the charts. His wingspan is going to be huge. He's going to run well. He's going to do all those things with those questions. But if half of football is just having a motor and not stopping and continuing to, you know, pulverize your opponent into the ground, that's Rashawn Gary. So I think Rashawn Gary will be fine in the NFL. But this group, and we didn't even talk about maybe the best one of them all, and Jeffrey Simmons. He's not at the combine, but he was phenomenal in high school. At Army, I remember him. It was a freezing cold day. He just dominated everybody when they still practiced outside, when it was still the Army game. And then at Mississippi State, he was great inside when Montez Sweat was outside. And so I think he's another one that might be getting pushed down the list here, but some teams are going to, you know, a team is going to take him even though not seeing him at the combine, and they're going to love him. And so this group is just absolutely phenomenal. I loved Sweat always. He had kind of gotten a bad grade kind of coming into the combine, it was being pushed down, but I think he's a phenomenal player off the edge and should fit in perfectly in the NFL. So this group, I just don't see where, and there will be misses, but I just don't know which ones are going to be misses because they all just look like phenomenal talents.
Yeah, and now a guy like Cleland Farrell is sort of in the 20 to 25 range when he was in the top 10 range. He's going to be a steal for somebody because he's getting pushed down a little bit. And then... you know, Jerry Tillery is another outstanding defensive tackle. So, I mean,
how about that? How about that discussion yesterday? That was an interesting discussion because Rich Eisen got a little ticked off about where that was going.
Well,
Jerry Tillery, for people that don't know, subscribes to The Economist and to The New Yorker, and a lot of teams are concerned that he doesn't love football because of it. And Rich Eisen kind of went off that you can be well read and also love playing football.
Yeah, and I can tell you, you know, from first impressions, obviously, and Jerry Tillery to us struck us as too nice a person to be a good football player. You know, I mean, he worked out at offensive line pretty much at every camp we had. And I'm pretty positive he was in the five-star challenge as an offensive lineman. And you talk to him and you're just like, this is just – too nice a kid to play football.
We don't know if there's a switch there that can really get to that mean level that we're going to need.
But also, isn't he the one who, didn't he kick somebody in the head?
Yes, I believe he did.
Or was it the other defensive tackle, the kid from New York? Somebody kicked somebody in the head. Let's just say it's Jerry Tillery, just to counteract The Economist and all that other stuff. Let's say Jerry Tillery kicked somebody in the head. I mean, he's mean on film.
So, yes, USC ripped dirty kick stomp by Jerry Tillery.
There it is. So, I mean, he's got the anger. He's got the mean streak. He's an angry guy. So,
I mean, he drove from Louisiana to Notre Dame for that visit and committed on the spot. I mean, that's a kid who cares about football. He drove from Louisiana to Indiana. It's pretty good.
Yeah, uphill all the way. So, I think this is a good draft. You know, people don't. Because the running back position isn't that flashy and the quarterbacks are a question mark. I've never seen a defensive line group like this ever. I was impressed with the linebackers when you lump Josh Allen in there, and you're talking about, you know, Devin Bush and Devin White. You know, I like the linebacker group. It's not deep.
Receiver.
Yeah, receiver's good. Offensive line, too. I mean, I was impressed. You know, some of the guys, it's funny, you know, some of the guys that, you know, Cody Ford was a really raw offensive lineman coming out of high school. He was a four-star kid. He had a lot of potential, great lower body strength. Didn't know what he was doing. Not a great technician. Now he's, you know, all the talk. You know, I don't know who's going to go first amongst the offensive tackles, if it's going to be him or if it's going to be Jonah Williams or if it's going to be someone else. But then you see a guy like Greg Little, who I was not impressed with.
No, I think he's kind of plummeting here.
Yeah, and he you know, it's so funny. In high school, take Juwan Taylor, okay?
Exactly. I was just going to bring him up.
Looks just horrible, you know.
Yeah,
300
out of shape, 345 pounds. Yeah.
Oh, 370. I guarantee you that kid was 370.
He
was,
yeah, easily.
They told him he had to get down to 340 to get an offer from Florida, and I think he did. But my goodness, he looked just not good.
But then, usually those kids too, when they have to lose that dramatic weight, they balloon right back up, you know.
Well, I mean, Orlando Brown did the same thing. He looked awful in high school, and he lost all the weight.
Yeah.
And you know, again, he doesn't look great. I mean, these aren't exactly, swimmer bodies, but
right.
It's Juwan Taylor looks so much better and so much quicker, and it was instant. Like, he was a freshman all-SEC guy, you know?
Yeah, and I lived in Gainesville. I know the good food there. He does, too. I mean, I ballooned right up, and I haven't lost the weight.
Well, there's a Hooters there.
We were there together.
We were there together. Yeah. And I still remember our waitress. She was extremely talented.
How can you forget her?
She was blonde with short hair. I mean, listen, I don't even know why we were there. It must have been Friday Night Lights or something.
Yeah, I think it was. Yep. I think it was one of those hell trips where our wives think we're in beautiful Central Florida enjoying ourselves, and we're driving in the middle of the night between Orlando and Gainesville.
Well, this is the hell trip. What was that called? What was that 7-on-7 called? The one that's not around anymore.
The one at Disney.
God, we're so old.
I could picture the stadium. I could picture Ray Ray Armstrong was there.
Yeah, I could picture none of them having numbers.
Right. Or rosters.
Which was awesome. But I went from Top Gun, right, in Virginia, where it was always 102 degrees, down to that thing. Gridiron Stars, Gridiron...
Gridiron Kings.
Gridiron Kings, okay. Down to Gridiron Kings for day one. Showing up, getting a roster with no numbers on it, having to figure out who each kid is by facial recognition software, which is my stupid head, and going up to him and saying, who are you again?
Who are you?
Then driving to Gainesville for Friday Night Lights, where you had no access, and you're sitting in the stands.
And quite damp in the car, too. I remember, you know, that Central Florida heat. It's not the nicest, nicest drive.
And, you know... No, of course, no rosters for Friday Night Lights because that's illegal and all this other stuff. And trying to figure out who's who and all this other stuff. And then driving back that night for the second day of Gridiron Kings or whatever. But, yeah, that's what we call a hell trip. And I don't know how we got on that tangent, but Juwan Taylor has nothing to do with that story.
But, not a thing.
Yeah, but how did we get on that story?
I don't know. Jonah Williams.
Talking about Hooters.
Oh, we were talking about Hooters.
Yeah, we were talking about Hooters.
That's right. Hooters.
You know, the only times in my life that I've been to Hooters has been with you guys.
You don't know what you're missing, man. I mean, the food's horrible. We usually get the ugly waitress. But in Gainesville,
I wonder why.
We struck gold in Gainesville.
Yeah, it was an A-plus effort that day.
If she's still out there, I don't know what she's doing, but hello. I forget her name, so it doesn't matter. But, yeah, Juwan knows all the hot spots to eat in Gainesville. But he lost the weight. Now he's, you know, potentially the number one tackle in the draft. You know, and Greg Little, who looked great, he looked pudgy.
Yeah.
He had a belly on him. He didn't look fluid. I was even watching him do that mirror drill, that stupid drill that they do at the end to try to wear you out.
Back and forth and back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, with a typewriter... feet and, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff, the sewing machine feet. And he was just struggling with that, which is pretty easy drill for these guys to do. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a five-star no-brainer who was going to be awesome. Now, what could he slide to the third round?
Yeah, I think he could. I think there are a lot of people ahead of him now, and then teams that might not need an offensive tackle. Yeah, Jawan Taylor checked in 6'5", 312.
Yeah, that's
so he lost easily 60 pounds in college. That's amazing.
Yeah, and people, you know, tell us, oh, you're stupid. How could you not have, you know, Orlando Brown as a five-star coming out of high school? He was first team all Big 12 and blah, blah, blah for 2 years. And how could you not have Jawan Taylor, who's going to be a top 10 pick, more than a three-star coming out of high school? Well, they were fat. Like,
yeah.
I'm fat.
They just did not look good.
No, and I know, and they were fat and slow. That comes together. That you know, I'm fat and I'm slow. I'm not fat and fast.
Right.
You know, that really you don't hear fat and fast together in the same sentence. They're just fat and slow. And, you know, they turned into something special. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, Murray was a four-star. Boza was a five-star. Williams was a four-star. Allen was a three-star. Rutgers, Allen's coach in New Jersey. He played in Alabama as a wide receiver. Moved to New Jersey. You want to talk about a culture shock. His senior year of high school, his coach at Montclair wanted Rutgers to offer that kid, begged them to offer him.
And they wouldn't?
They wouldn't do it. And he had 22 and a half sacks as a senior. We had him as a 5'5", three-star. He had one freaking offer.
Yeah.
And that was Kentucky. And now he's going to be picked in the top four. Like, there's no way to just see that coming. Yeah. But people will rag on us for it. It's like, who's the dude who's playing for the Bears now, who was with the Raiders? Khalil Mack?
Khalil Mack.
Yeah, Buffalo. They're the only ones who wanted him. Everybody who looked at him said he's too slow. He's not, you know, he can't move side to side well enough, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes off to college and turns into an animal, and then we get yelled at. But when you're looking at this, I'm looking at a mock draft here. Haskins was a four-star. Hawkinson was a three. Again, Iowa tight end should always be four stars. Brian Burns was a four. DK Metcalf was a four. Drew Locke was a four. Andre Dillard, what was he? That's your guy.
No, he was a three. That was another kid who really was not recruited at all. He was kind of a guy that was from Washington. Here's who Washington State beat out for him. Eastern Washington, Idaho, Portland State.
Hmm.
Not a guy that showed up anywhere. Had decent measurables. And what's interesting is I have to give credit to Greg Biggins for this, and he'll make the podcast for the first time. Guys who are top 10 guys in offensive linemen who were top 10 guys testing at the Combine, all were guys who weighed less than 250 pounds in high school. Guys that max out, like, if you're a 6'6", 325-pound high school offensive lineman, you're probably not going to – you might be drafted first, but you're not going to test well in high school. It's all these guys who are, like, converted tight ends and all those kinds of guys that really develop. So when you look at Andre Dillard in high school and you go, he's 6'5", 240, he's too lean – if you're projecting to the NFL, that's a perfect guy to take and make a five-star.
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom from BC is going to be a second-rounder, and he was 240 pounds.
Yeah, and those are the guys.
He showed up at our New Jersey camp and held his own with bigger, stronger guys. But at 240, you're like, man, I can't go higher than a three-star for this kid. I mean, I don't know how he's going to fill out, but...
Yeah.
You look at the guys we got at the top here, you know, Evan Neal's 360 pounds. That could be a problem. You know, and Darnell Wright.
Or he could be a Jawan Taylor type where he could. Evan Neal's issue in high school was he's going to balloon up and down in his weight. Can he deal with it? Can he stay lean? When he's lean, he's great. But, you know, he's going to be in the 300s, no doubt about it.
Darnell Wright listed 300, but he was clearly like 335 at Under Armour, carrying some bad weight. Then he looked like a kid like Charles Cross, who's 270 and 6'5". That could be
That's
your guy.
Who you want.
Yeah.
That's who you want.
That could be. I mean, Kenyon Green's 315. He's already, you know, pretty big. Cardell Thomas, 328. Pretty big. So you'd think we'd learn from this, but try to find an offensive lineman who's 260 pounds in high school that blows you away.
Here's a perfect example. I was just going down the offensive line list. I wasn't listening to you. I was doing some research here.
Awful.
56 in the country, 2020 class, Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College High, 6'8", 255. That's a kid who we should discuss moving up in the rankings if he can move at all, because he's got the height. They're going to love that size, and then he's going to be able to he's going to be 275, 280. At Boston College, and then he'll be 290 heading into the combine, and he'll blow people away.
And his dad was Steve Trapillo, who played, I think, 10 years with the New Orleans Saints.
Exactly. Okay, let's move him up right now. Let's have a rankings call. Get everybody on the phone, Mike.
What number is he?
56, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Or you look at the tight ends, like these guys that – there are so many guys that we deal with all the time that are resistant to move to tackle. They're not an athletic tight end, but they'd be the most athletic offensive tackle. And, you know, you look at guys, I'm just looking down the list of guys who have that size. Darnell Washington is not going to be an offensive tackle because he's going to be the best tight end in the history of the world. But, you know, you just look down the list, like a Theo Johnson, who's a very talented tight end right now, 6'5", 235, could be an incredible guy. Mark Redman is a guy that we actually discussed yesterday. He's a kid from Newport Beach. He's 6'6", 245 right now. Great tight end. But he could be a 6'7", 275-pound in super athletic offensive tackle. So
hard to predict.
It's just amazing.
Though. It's so hard.
It's impossible to predict.
Well, I mean,
and so many kids don't want to move.
I thought Gronkowski was going to be an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
He was massive in high school. And now he's one of the best tight ends to ever play in the NFL. I thought Calcaterra was going to be a freaking offensive tackle. I'm reminded of that every second of every day on the Oklahoma board, you know, because I saw him in Under Armour and I'm like, wow, that is a big framed kid. And
and
he didn't move that well, but he's obviously having a very good career so far. And now people, oh, is Greg Calcaterra going to be an offensive tackle, you stupid idiot? You know, I mean, just... It's so hard to project tight ends to be that guy. But you're right. I mean, who's the guy with the Eagles? Lane Johnson.
Yes.
He was a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know it sounds like we're making excuses, which we are. But Lane Johnson.
We're also just saying, look, you know, looking back on this, it's pretty easy to look at, but you can't predict these kinds of things. It's just too impossible.
Lane Johnson in high school in 2008 was 6'5", 202 pounds.
Yeah.
No offers. He ended up walking on at Oklahoma, and then he ended up being a top five. He was fourth overall in the NFL draft. So if anybody knew that was coming, then you can have my job, you know, because you just can't – with these big athletes, you just don't know – Montez Sweat was a two-star tight end who went to Michigan State as his, I think, his only offer.
Yeah.
Transferred to Mississippi State after a year at JUCO. JUCO is a three-star kid. He was not a 6'6", 260-pound freak of nature. He turned into one, and he's going to be one of those guys when you look at the mock draft, when he goes in the top 10 and everybody looks at him as a three-star out of JUCO, they'd be like, "Whoa, you guys suck," and that one's going to ding us.
And this is why I like Dan Mullen so much, is because he found and developed Chris Jones. He got Jeffrey Simmons. You know, Alabama was definitely in that late. He found and developed Montez Sweat. So if he could do that, if he could replicate that at Florida with the talent that they have at defensive back, and then the talent that he can develop at quarterback. And just the playmakers that they could get at Florida, I think he could really develop a special program at Florida if he can continue finding those kind of undervalued defensive linemen. Simmons was a national guy. Everybody knew about him, but nobody knew about Sweat. Everybody knew about Jones, but keeping him was very important, too.
Yeah, Mississippi is one of those states, man, that just produces a lot of talent, a lot of NFL guys, and gets overlooked, probably more than any other state. It's a real tough state to scout. You know, there's a lot of late development going on there for kids. They just don't get a ton of attention. Nobody runs camps in Mississippi. I think we did it one year. But, you know, it's always Louisiana or it's always Alabama. It's never Mississippi. So, you know, got to keep an eye on those kids. Because look at what the Ole Miss and Mississippi State kids did at the Combine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, they were tearing up the world on the field as a team, but they've got some tremendous athletes on those teams. I still think offensive tackle wise, Jonah Williams is my guy, but I don't know. Other people don't.
He's not a guard?
No, he's a tackle. His kick slide, his kick slide is really impressive to me. He's nasty. He's physical. I know he had trouble with Clemson speed rush guys, but everybody has trouble with those guys. And, you know, he'll learn, but I think he's a left tackle, and I think he's going to be really good. I think Cody Ford is a right tackle to me, but a really, really good one. Dillard, I'm not sold on. He's athletic as heck, but I just have a feeling, you know, I see people get into his body too much. And, you know, I think Juwan Taylor, who doesn't make any mistakes, is going to be a guy that, you know, plays offensive tackle or offensive guard for a very long time in the league. I was watching the defensive backs this morning, and they're still going on now. Cornerback position looks bad. I'll tell you who I love is your guy, Byron Murphy. Love Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy's the man, and he's a playmaker too. He's always around the ball, and he just doesn't knock it down. He picks it off. He's a great player.
It was very interesting hearing Deion say, you don't want those big-bodied kids at corner. You don't want that. You want the small-frame kids at corner because they're flexible and they can move. And that's so opposite of what everybody sort of is scouting these days.
But yeah.
Byron Murphy is that guy. I mean, he's not big. He's not small, but he's 5'10". But when I hear Deion, who's obviously one of the best defensive backs ever, say, you know, it's those small body guys, and he's not talking about 5'9" guys. He's talking about the 5'10", 5'11" guys that are maybe 175 pounds out of high school that'll play it, I don't know, 195 to 200 pounds in the NFL, but will not lose any of their fluidity, if that's such a word. I'm looking at, you know, corner a little bit differently after hearing that. It's there's always a learning process. This is what I love about the Combine. You get to listen to guys, you know, for years it was Mike Mayock, and now it's
Daniel Jeremiah.
DJ.
I think he's done a great job.
Has done a great job. And you hear these guys who have been scout. I mean, he's just scout for three different NFL football teams and knows more about football than you and I will ever know. But you also hear the players. You know, you hear Joe Thomas talking about the offensive lineman. You hear Willie McGinnis talking about the defensive lineman and stuff like that. You learn so much from those 4 days of coverage when you're talking about scouting. And you could be a scout for 20-plus years like I have been and learn a ton. Like this past 4 days, I've learned so much more about scouting football players. And last year, you know, listening to Mayock, I learned a ton. You know, so every year I look forward to the Combine and people think I'm nuts because
I love it too. I love it for the same reasons.
And
you either justify some of the way you think, you learn more about how, what I love about Daniel Jeremiah and Mayock in the past is that they're saying the things that when they're talking to scouts and, you know, executives at the teams, they're expressing to us what NFL teams are looking for, you know? So, I think that's incredibly valuable for what we do, because if NFL teams are looking for those fluid 5'10", 175 pound cornerbacks coming out of high school that can develop, well, our cornerbacks right now at the top are 6'3", 6'1", 6'2".
Yep.
So You know, those are the questions. So I'm not saying those guys are dropping, but you look at a guy like Malachi Moore at number 9, who's 6 feet even, who's probably 5'11", 175. Look, to us, to our eye, he's probably a little undersized and skinny, but in 5 years from now, he's going to be at Alabama, and we should project him out, you know? I mean, it's just those are the things that I think we need to take into account when we're doing this, because we hit a lot of guys. I mean, look at our defensive tackle and defensive end rankings coming into this combine. We hit a lot of those guys, but there are certainly some misses that I think we can learn from, too.
Yeah, and, you know, if you ever want to learn about scouting, just watch the combine and listen to the Joe Thomases and Willie McGinnis. And, you know, obviously Mayock was in there and Jeremiah and guys like that. They'll teach you a lot of stuff. You know, it's funny because Owen Popoe is a kid that's going to be interesting to see because he's a freak athlete. So I'm picturing him in 3 years. He's going to Auburn from the 2019 class. He's 6'1", 202 pounds. He'll probably get up to 230, something like that. If he keeps his speed, he could bust out a 4.5. Yep. Then you're talking 6'1", 230, 4.5, 40, you know, 40-inch vertical, guy who could land in the first round. We dropped him from 5 stars because
wasn't big enough.
Yeah, there are size issues, and he didn't have the best year at Grayson. I mean, he wasn't dominating. He wasn't all over the field and things like that. But, you know, that's a guy we could look back on, 59th in the country, and say, well, we had him at 5. We should have kept him there. I don't know.
I think with linebacker now, all that matters. I mean, look at Devin Bush. He was not a kid in high school that you were like, wow, that's an impressive-looking kid. He wasn't that kid at Michigan. You know, I think Roquan Smith was not a big kid, and he didn't make it past mid-level 4-star. So I think at linebacker, you're like, who are the guys in this class, no matter what they look like, that fly around the field and have 120 tackles a year? And legit 120 tackles, and they're everywhere, and they do everything.
Yeah, well.
And whether they're small or big or whatever, those are the guys that should probably move.
I still have a problem with the small thing, and I guess... You know, again, there aren't a lot of 5'11 great linebackers in the NFL.
Right.
So I would say Devin Bush is probably the exception. But Roquan Smith, Devin Bush, back-to-back draft years going in the first round, maybe that's the trend now. Nakobe Dean was a kid that we had who's going to Georgia as a 5-star, and I led the charge to drop him. He was too small when I saw him. You know, he looked 5'10 and a half.
But you also run the risk, Mike, of doing the opposite, where every quick twitch white wide receiver, you know, the hype is that's the next Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. You know, I mean, you have to be careful about how you do that. Just because you're a small linebacker doesn't mean you're the next Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a hard thing to do.
Well, and just because you're, you know, 5'10" and you're Kyler Murray doesn't mean that the next 5'10" quarterback I see I'm going to give 4 stars. I mean, Kyler Murray is an exception. He's an exceptional talent and, you know, a great football player. But he's the exception, not the rule. It just so happens that I think with the athleticism, the exception's becoming more common.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd still take a kid who looks like Brandon Smith, 6'3", 225 pounds, going to Penn State, you know, over in Nakobe Dean, even though we have Dean ranked higher. I think when you project Brandon Smith down the line, he could be one of those combine freaks. You know, in a few years. We'll just see how it projects. But, you know, people are going to grade us on this stuff. I think we're in okay shape when it comes to, you know, mostly 4 stars and some 5s. You know, Josh Jacobs is going to go in the first round. He's a 3-star. He had a great senior year, but, you know, just was too late to get any sort of bump up. DeAndre Baker was a 3-star. Noah Fant was a 3-star. You know, you've got guys that are 3s in here. You know, if what's the quarterback, Daniel Jones, if he goes in the first round, then we're dead because he's a 0-star who had, I mean, he had to walk on at Duke.
Yeah.
And he had nothing going on at all back in 2015 out of high school. He had one school showed him interest, which was NC State. He was at Charlotte Latin. He put up good numbers, too. He was 6 foot
four.
Yeah,
he put up huge numbers.
6 foot four, 200 pounds. We never saw him. I mean, we got no picture. there's no article that, you know, that we were able to scout him. That's why he's got zero stars. I mean, we just never saw him play. And you know, it's just one of those kids who slips through the cracks and just happens to be, you know, go to Cutcliffe and turn into a very good quarterback. I wasn't overly impressed with him at the combine. I still think he's a reach for a first rounder, but at quarterback position, he could certainly be a guy that somebody takes, and you know, that'd be a zero star quarterback. But that's what Carson Wentz was. I mean, you know, he went FCS. Daniel Jones could have easily probably gone FCS. He just wanted to play FBS and was willing to walk on at Duke. You know, he walks on someplace else, he may never play. So that'll be an interesting one right there. I'm not sure how many quarterbacks are going to be taken, but the combine itself, I think obviously the defensive linemen were definitely the talk. The wide receivers were also extremely deep.
Do we want to talk about DK Metcalf really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, we can. It's up on the front of Rivals. You know, my thoughts on him. Gosh, he's a great-looking kid, and he was a great-looking kid in high school.
Yeah, he was a great-looking kid. Keyshawn Johnson told me once, though, that some receivers are like a jaguar. When they run great, but they're always in the shop. And this is a kid who had a foot injury as a freshman, a neck injury as a junior. Those are two injuries that aren't exactly like a pulled hamstring and he sat out. Those are serious injuries. But you wonder, when you look that good, I think George Farmer had this issue too, that any little tweak of a muscle, because you have no fat on your body, because you're just so primed for perfection, you wonder if this is a guy that just wows people at the combine. He didn't have great numbers at Ole Miss. I mean, he had very decent numbers. But if we're talking about, I wonder if NFL people are just falling in love with how he looks and not how he plays.
Yeah. And he was very, very pedestrian at Army.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he was.
He won the Bear Market Award, the infamous Farrell Bear Market Award for the player whose stock dropped the most during the week.
But you should go through all your bear markets and see how those people play out. It'd be funny.
I mean, yeah, I should. Metcalf had a bad case of the drops all week in practice, had a hard time getting separation. You know, people, when I write my little Farrell's take on this stuff, said we question his speed, and then they laugh. He ran a 4.33. I go, no, we're talking like 4 years ago, man. He was not a 4.33 kid. He was 6'5", 211 pounds, long strider, not a sudden speedy kid. He could not get separation. He was too slow for the west corners, you know, and here's what I wrote. He's a big kid, but if you're going to outrun speedy guys, you had better catch everything. And if you're not going to outrun speedy guys, you'd better catch everything. So he wasn't getting separation. He was dropping passes. Others who made that list, Tavian Feaster, who's really, he obviously had a disappointing career at Clemson. Based on all the hype coming out of Spartanburg, I remember he was supposed to be the best prospect coming out of Spartanburg in like 40 years.
I think he'll be the guy this year, right? After Etienne's gone?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
Felipe Franks, who is still very, very average. Benjamin Victor, who hasn't really done a lot at Ohio State.
No.
But here's a bad one. Trayvon Mullen.
Ooh, that's a miss.
Yeah, because he's gonna be a first rounder probably. He's got good size, very fluid corner. The bull market guys. None of these guys will ever amount to anything. This is bad.
Let's hear it.
Tyler Bird. Do you even remember Tyler Bird?
I know Larry Bird.
Exactly. Tyler Bird, Shaquille Quarterman, who went to Miami, who had a really good freshman year and then just tailed off. Eric Fowler, who was a monster.
I will defend you there because he was just phenomenal at Army.
Didn't he have to transfer because of grades or something?
Yeah, he left Texas. There were always questions of if he could even get into Texas because of his grades. He got in, And then he transferred to Sam Houston State, I think.
Yeah, something really, really small.
He had good numbers this year because I sadly had to look him up for one of our articles.
Well, watch. He'll probably be a kid who, you know, he'll be invited to the combine when it's his turn.
Yeah.
You always see the Sam Houston State. Like, who the hell is this kid? But Fowler was a big-time kid. He was good.
He was very good.
Off-field stuff kind of killed him. Jeffrey Simmons, which that was a good call.
There you go.
Tremonda Moore. Hasn't done much.
No.
Ross Blacklock. I gotta be very careful. Ross Blacklock. Defensive tackle from Texas. And then Josh Brown, the North Carolina kid who went to Florida State, and I don't even know what he's doing. So not a great bull market there, but...
No, the bull market was not a hit there.
Physical prowess is always interesting. Ben Cleveland, remember what he looked like?
Yes, remember when we first met him was at the five-star challenge.
Yep.
And that's when he told us he used to be able to pick up the back end of a truck.
Yeah, and he used to lift engines.
Yeah.
That was his weight program. He used to lift engines and stuff because I think somebody was in a mechanic in his family or something like that. And Raekwon Davis was also on my physical prowess, and he'll be out next year. And he could be a first-rounder as well. So it's always interesting looking back on this stuff, but DK Metcalf to me is not your number one wide receiver. He's David Boston. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Who's my number one wide receiver? That's real hard. Because AJ Brown is a guy that I always like.
Oh, it's interesting though, because I think Daniel Jeremiah said it this weekend that the criticism on AJ Brown is that he doesn't run routes; they just dump it off to him. That's why he has 82 catches a year. They just dump it off and let him run with it.
I like Marquise Brown, but he's small.
What about N'Keal Harry?
I love N'Keal Harry, but people don't like N'Keal Harry.
I don't know why.
They think he's
I guess he got criticism for not catching the ball smoothly enough this weekend. But
well, yeah, he watch him. He didn't have a great gauntlet. And they think he's stiff, and they expected him to run in the 4.7s. He ran like a 4.53. I love N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, I don't think he's stiff. I think they're missing on N'Keal Harry. I think he's going to be a superstar.
Oh, I think he's going to be better than Paris Campbell. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell didn't run a route over 10 yards all last year.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
that. Is that the NFL now? Is everybody just doing what the Patriots do? Don't make it complicated. Just dump it and run.
Everybody's not doing what the Patriots do, which is why the Patriots are still winning Super Bowl.
Are still winning, yeah.
Right. Now, if he goes to the Patriots, then maybe he could be that slot guy for them. But, you know, he's not going to get that far. Paris ran a 4.31. He's going to be picked in the top 20. And I just don't see it, you know, from film, him being a great, you know, Calvin Harmon, I think, is okay. People love him.
Yeah, he's okay.
You know, some people love him, some don't. I like the wide receiver group. It's just that, you know, some of these guys that I like, a lot of people are pushing down in the second and third round, and I can't figure it out. N'Keal Harry, I thought if he'll kill the interviews, we knew that. Size is not an issue. If he ran in the 4.5s, I thought he was a sure first rounder.
I just think we need to deal with managing expectations from the combine. I mean, John Ross broke the record at the combine for the 40. The Bengals were trying to deal him last year, and he's done nothing there. He's constantly injured. But he got into the first round because of it. You know, I mean, DK Metcalf is a very decent football player. And he looks like an Adonis, and he looks like the best player ever, but is he a great wide receiver in the NFL? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, a lot of people like Riley Ridley heading into the combine as a real sleeper, the best route runner in the whole draft, going to be a late first rounder. I never saw that either.
I think that's Calvin Ridley hope.
Yeah, Calvin definitely saw. Remember, I was at the Miami camp, and Calvin showed up, and his little brother showed up, and it was Calvin and Caven. Caven was Riley, and Riley changed his name to Riley because people were confusing it with Calvin too much. And Calvin was awesome. Caven was thicker, but not nearly as fast, not nearly as fluid. His body control wasn't there. You know, sometimes people look for stuff because of who you're related to, and sometimes it's just not there, so... I don't know. I think the first round is going to be very interesting. The combine's awesome. I love the combine. I'm such a nerd. I tweeted out that I love the combine, and everybody made fun of me. They all think I'm a loser, Gorney. I don't understand it.
I can't imagine why they would think that.
I mean, I don't leave the house. Ever. I watch Bar Rescue while working all day. Then I watch Two and a Half Men.
Three for Three. What is this, 1996?
Then I watch Mom, which I love. It's my favorite
show. Mom is an underrated show.
It's a great show. And then, you know, I'll have a cocktail or two here and there. That sounds like a cool guy, right?
No, that does not.
Yeah,
I'm going to start making fun of you on Twitter now.
My wife doesn't think it's very cool either.
Yeah, I would not imagine she would.
Every day she comes home and she's like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're still in the house. You know? It's pretty bad. I think that's a good place to wrap things up.
All right. I'll get us out of here. I'll remind everybody, you can find us on Twitter @RivalsMike, @AdamGorney, and @RealDaveBerry. We will see everybody again next week.